Of all the really big names in 20th century British music, Benjamin Britten is the one least associated with the symphony. It's suggested, if not downright asserted, that Britten succeeded where most British composers failed, in the world of opera. His real genius, it's said, is for words and music. His instrumental works, even at their best, are often represented as satellites orbiting his vocal works, the operas, of course, the song cycles, and the magnificent War Requiem. It has been argued that the works he called symphonies, the Spring Symphony or the Cello Symphony, aren't really symphonies at all, or symphonic perhaps only in some broader, more hybrid sense. They're certainly not to be compared with Elgar's Two, or Vaughan Williams's Nine, or, well, I'm sure many of you could go on adding names. But I don't think that this quite applies to the work Britten called Sinfonia da Requiem, roughly Requiem Symphony. Britten composed it in 1940, when he was just 26 years old. It was inscribed, "In Memory of My Parents." Britten's mother had died when he was 22, his father 3 years earlier. That's a heavy loss for a young man. And as Britten's biographer Michael Kennedy says, the personal inspiration behind this music is unquestionable. An element of personal grief, almost certainly. But it's difficult to miss the imprint in Britten's Sinfonia da Requiem of profoundly troubled times. This was a work written, after all, after the beginning of World War II. Britten was in America at the time he wrote the Sinfonia da Requiem, but he was clearly very concerned for his remaining family and friends still in Britain, facing the daily threat of Nazi invasion. As Britten struggled with the anxiety and the sense of separation from his homeland, he received a commission from the British Council for a work for festivities connected with the reigning dynasty of a foreign power. This turned out to be Imperial Japan. Britten sketched what was to become the Sinfonia da Requiem and submitted the outlines to the Japanese authorities. At first, they received official approval. But when the completed score was sent off, it provoked a furious response from Tokyo. Britten had given the three movements titles from the traditional Roman Catholic Mass for the Dead, Lacrimosa, Dies Irae, and Requiem Aeternam. This use of Christian imagery was now viewed as highly insulting to the Japanese emperor. This change in attitude makes a little more sense if one remembers that in 1940, Japan had signed a pact with Nazi Germany and fascist Italy, making it one of the Axis powers. Benjamin Britten and the Christian West he represented were now the enemy. And even if the Sinfonia hadn't come equipped with these provocative titles, its dark, tragic and sometimes violent emotional content would have been sensitive enough in its own terms. How would sounds like these, composed by a representative of a hostile power, have been received in bellicose Tokyo?
Thank you.
It's not just the tone of that music that might have proved problematic in Japan. That expressive style is distinctly rooted in a Western late Romantic or indeed expressionist manner, and indeed owes a lot to Mahler, a composer who Britain very much admired. There is, however, a kind of specific Mahler reference there, an invocation of one of Mahler's most potent sound symbols. At the high point of the crescendo we've just heard, the brass harmonies alternate starkly between minor and major, while the leading melodic line on the violins does the reverse, major-minor. A strident major-minor clash results. That clash enhances the anguish of the expression, but it also recalls this sound symbol from Mahler's Symphony No. 6, the symphony he called the Tragic. This is its fate motif. Major followed by minor, and underneath unmistakably militaristic march rhythms. For many, Mahler seems to look forward to the coming horrors of the 20th century in his Sixth Symphony, and with hindsight, Britain in 1940 almost certainly felt he had. All the same, this invocation of Mahler probably would have made more sense to a Western audience than it would have done to a Japanese audience still getting to know the Western repertoire. That's not the only place in the Sinfonia de Requiem where destructive military imagery seems to blast through the texture of the music. You can also feel it in the symphony's very opening. We have just one note, a low D, but it's scored very powerfully, bass brass and heavy percussion, plus harps and piano. It's like the sound of pounding artillery fading gradually into a ghostly funereal tread. Next comes the symphony's theme on cellos. Its lamenting character is difficult to miss, but Britten also makes telling use of syncopations, that's tugs against the beat which we can hear pounding regularly on harp and piano. It creates a kind of dragging effect. You'll still hear it said that Britten wasn't a natural symphonist. Yet the way he single-mindedly extracts so much from the contours of that theme and from its dragging, heavy, syncopated rhythm, with the music drawing its slow, inexorable momentum from both, that's not just symphonic thinking, it's magnificent symphonic thinking. So too is the emergence, organically, of a new idea and a new colour. At the height of that first theme we've just heard, the cellos stretch to the interval of a seventh. That seventh interval is now taken up as a rocking, lamenting figure by alto saxophone, its tone truly lachrymose. Later in this first movement, Britten builds a superb climax on repetitions of that rocking, lamenting seventh figure. It's passed between the brass, and it's especially telling on the six horns. After this first movement comes the fury of the Dies Irae, Day of Wrath. It's announced, not as traditionally by the last trumpet, but by a weird, fluttering fanfare figure on flutes and piccolo. So we have brilliant, brash colours, fabulous textures, virtuosic scoring. It's exciting and rather enjoyable. Britten certainly doesn't quite match the cathartic horror of the more or less contemporary Eighth Symphony by Shostakovich, a composer who was later to become a close friend. Britten certainly rose to blacker heights in the War Requiem. But there's one especially telling moment in this second movement. The flute's fluttering, repeated note fanfare is taken up by rasping, muted brass. The fury dies down a bit. Then the voice of that lamenting saxophone is heard again, but as though in a different, far slower tempo. It's a lone voice counting the cost of all this excited bloodlust. At the end of the Dies Irae, Britten creates a striking musical image of destruction and disillusion. The flute's flutter-tongue fanfare from the beginning of the movement is taken up by the full orchestra. Then the explosive figure that follows seems to collapse in on itself. The music falls back onto the low D, the sound the symphony began with. Then, from the ashes, something new, something delicate, begins to rise. You might have noticed a faintly oriental tinge to the woodwind chant theme there. Perhaps by this stage in the compositional process, Britten was definitely thinking in terms of Japan. It's still faint, but nevertheless, here is the beginnings of an interest that was to flower more productively in Britten's church parable, Curlew River, which he wrote after seeing a Japanese no play in 1956. At the same time, however, that line of woodwind chant, if you strip away its close harmony, it could be Roman Catholic plain chant. Plain chant and Far Eastern colouring, as later in Curlew River. Here it would seem that Britten was reaching out from his Western European and Christian roots towards Japan and its culture embodied in music. In which case it's rather poignant that this touching advance was emphatically rejected. After that music comes a wonderful transformation. If we take the original dragging, lamenting theme from the first movement, in the finale, that's transformed into this heart-easing D major melody. That heavy syncopated drag from the Lacrimosa is now gone. The line flows like the soul liberated in death. Well, this is the Requiem Aeternum, eternal rest. That builds to an ardent climax, and now we do sense again that possible personal element, the dedication of this symphony in memory of my parents. And as the climax fades, the Japanese plain chant fusion theme holds stage, marked dolcissimo, very sweetly. The end of the Sinfonia de Requiem isn't quite all ethereal tranquility. The radiance fades, the warm textures thin out, and finally we're left with a very low repeated D on harp and double basses. It's a faint but unmistakable echo of the black, destructive, pounding sounds that began the symphony. It's a remarkable work, this, especially for a 26-year-old. You may feel regret at the end of it that Britten didn't return to the purely orchestral symphony, though given what he did achieve later, I don't think we've too many grounds for complaint, especially when you look at the work that in many ways seems like the continuation and enhancement of what's opened up here, the War Requiem. Still, the Sinfonia de Requiem, a satellite work? Decidedly not.